Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He, Jesus, appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give You thanks. Thanks that through the revelation of St. John and these words to the church in his first epistle, Lord, we thank You that we know who we are, that we are children of God, that You have lavished Your love upon us so that we can know that we are Your children, not because of what we do, but because of what You've done. Not because of who we are, but because of who You are and the love of the Father that forgives us all our sins and calls us as children. Lord, as we strive to live for You in the church militant, may we always remember that we have a place in the church triumphant. And may we, Lord, know that our journey is not only a journey that is hard, a journey where we struggle, a journey where we have crisis of belief, a journey where we have lack of trust, a journey where we go through all kinds of things. But Lord, help us to remember that that's just part of the preparation. It's not the end of the story. For we are not just sinners, but we are saints. We are not just citizens of the church militant, but we are citizens of the church triumphant. We are not just a covenant people, but we are a kingdom people. And we celebrate with great joy that when You appear, we will appear like You, pure and holy, as the saints that have gone before us. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in Your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On my vicarage, we were in a place in northwestern Ontario known for its fish. People would come from all over the world to fish. And we got a chance. We were blessed because one of the ways that we were helped was by people dropping off fish. And I don't know, we really didn't need a whole lot of fish before that experience, did we? Not really that much. But it was great fish. It was really good fish. And what was amazing was I learned a lot on my vicarage, because my vicarage supervisor, we call him our bishop, the one that we were supposed to learn from, he was a fisherman, and he loved to fish. And so we learned a lot because he liked to have our meetings, he called the meetings, were on the boat. So whenever a story about Jesus with his disciples on the boat would come up, it always seemed like there was a little bit more application to it after experiencing our meetings on the boat. One of the things I'll never forget is we had the All Pastors Conference at one of these resorts. It was actually called the Eagle's Nest Resort. And, you know, knowing that we're at EMU where the Eagles are, you know, going to do better next week, we recognize, you know, that's important. And I always remember this Eagle's Nest Resort, and I remember that the district president was there, and that I had the privilege of being the person in the boat with him while we were fishing. I'll tell you something about fishing in northwestern Ontario, is it brings out the true nature of the individual. I'm sure it's probably like that anywhere around here, that if you get frustrated easily, when you're fishing, you get frustrated easily. If you're a cheerful person, when you're fishing, you may be cheerful. It all depends on the catch, I guess. But what was really interesting was I had an assignment, and so the district president was doing really well, and he wanted to stay out on the boat, so I was told to wait while another boat was going to come to take me into shore so we could set up for this service. And so I remember this because the boat pulled up next to the boat I was in, and the guy said really quickly, and I mean the waves were getting really high, and things were not very good. The wind was up, and I was thinking to myself, this is not going to be good. And he pulled up next to him and he says, get in. Well, I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever transferred from one boat to another? Some of you have, obviously. It was quite the experience. I think it took me a few weeks to recover. Because what did I do? I put one leg into the other boat, and along came a wave. And all of a sudden, one boat was going this way, and the other boat was going that way. Needless to say, it took me a long time to recover. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, living in a world where we are partly in the we are in the church militant, but because we're baptized, because we're children of God, because the God has lavished on us his love and has called us children of God, we know we also are part of the church triumphant, right? And don't you feel sometimes when you're going through your life that you feel like you got one foot in both boats? No? You say, Lord, I'm a child of God. I'm sanctified. I'm holy. I'm made. You just said to me that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And yet I got still got one foot in this boat. And I don't know if you haven't noticed, but a lot of times those boats are going in very different directions. And it is painful. Is it not? And so on All Saints Sunday, it's a chance for us to remember that as far as God is concerned, he's already moved on. He already sees us as having residence in the kingdom of God. And he already sees us when we are baptized, when we are born anew from above. We heard that in Experiencing God today. It was kind of cool. When we're born anew from above, we are already in the kingdom. And all we're doing in this, where we got one foot in the boat of the church militant, is all we're doing is we're preparing to get fully into the boat of the church triumphant. And I'll tell you something about preparation. How many of us like preparation? Some of us, right? Preparation is not always a fun experience. How many of you have gone to a boot camp of any kind? There's all kinds of boot camps out there. Was it a fun experience? It's not designed to be a fun experience. It's designed to prepare you for what you're going to do after you're done the camp. And a lot of times in the church militant, we go through experiences that are designed to prepare us to be part of the church triumphant. So, with that being said, I think it would be appropriate today, and because I just felt like the worship was so good that I thought I could maybe shorten the sermon a little bit so that we could continue to worship. Wasn't it awesome? Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because of where I'm at, but this shouldn't all be about me, and I apologize for those people who aren't where I am, but I just felt like the Lord just wanted to bless us today. And it was awesome to be in his presence and to experience his grace and his presence is so wonderful. And so I just wanted to stay there for a while. But I thought I would make this very simple. I thought I would just remind you that you have a place in the church triumphant. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are celebrating that we have a place that's been prepared for us. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And guess what? He keeps his promises. He has a place prepared for you. And as long as you're sojourning in the church militant, I want you to remember and keep your focus on the fact that you already have citizenship in the church triumphant. Amen? So when you get burdened by the things of this world, the preparation things of this world, where you go through what feels like a boot camp. When I went to boot camp, my first experience of boot camp was that they spent the first 2 weeks tearing us down to nothing. I'll never forget the first day I got there, I was going to impress them. I was what you might call, no, I won't use that word in church. I like to impress the people in charge, okay? I figured the best thing is to dive in and impress those people who are in charge, because your life will be a lot better. And so I worked overtime. I hardly got any sleep, and I made sure that our barracks room was the floor was perfect. My boots were perfect. My uniform was perfect. Everything was perfect. I did all the brass. You know, I got the brass out and did all the brass. I mean, I made sure everything was perfect. I even went along the windowsills, you know, and made sure all the dust was off of there. I even checked underneath the mattresses just to make sure. I mean, I went through, the people that were there with me were not impressed. But I was going to make sure that they were not going to find any fault with us, not realizing that the whole point of the first 2 weeks of boot camp was to bring us down so the last 4 weeks they could build us up. Didn't know this. Learned it after. I wish I would have known going in. Because guess what? No matter how hard I worked, do you think that they praised us? No. Do you think they said, "Well done"? Nope. It was terrible. It was absolutely horrible. That's the law, by the way. And I grew up in a house with law and gospel. And I was waiting for the gospel. And it was slow in coming. But the wonderful thing about God is He's not slow in coming. And so by the time I got through the first 2 weeks, I all of a sudden got praise. You know, when you haven't gotten praised, when you've only gotten torn down, when you've only gotten put down, when you've only been told what you did wrong for a long period of time, one word of praise goes a long way. Kind of like water in a desert. You ever notice that? It's like water in a desert. I'll never forget when the first time my sergeant said, "Shendel, good boots." My heart leaped. And you go like, "What?" But after 2 weeks of him scuffing them and telling me there's this wrong with them and that wrong with them, it felt really good. So brothers and sisters, as we sojourn in the church militant, as we sojourn as sinners in a sinful world, as we go through a time of preparation, which is very painful, because we don't live in a world where we get a lot of praise, do we? We don't live in a world where the gospel is preeminent. We live in a world where sin reigns, where human nature is supreme, where things that we would think are horrible happen on a regular basis, where life isn't fair, and where we can really get down if we think that this is all there is. The meaning of hope is that we can look at it and say, "I may be in the church militant, but I got a place in the church triumphant." I'm going to ask this. I'm going to get in trouble. I know this. Go easy on me. Can you be the church militant today? Can you guys in this section? Can you say, "Church militant"? Okay. Can you guys be the church triumphant for me? I know that's the better place, so I'm sure you're impressed. But I just flipped the coin. This was nothing personal, okay? Good choice. Can you be the church triumphant? Say it for me. Okay. This is how we're going to end this sermon. I hope that you take this to heart. When Satan tells us that we deserve eternal damnation, we know that we are in the church. But because of God and because of Jesus' sacrifice and because the Word tells us that we have had God's love lavished upon us and we are children of God, we know that we are in the church. So we tell Satan, who is convicting us, who is trying to give us an impression that he has won the victory in the church, that he doesn't have any power over taking away our citizenship in the church. You're not getting into this as I thought you might. It's kind of like being split between two boats. When we feel like hope is being taken away, and we feel, again, the feelings, it's where Satan likes to attack. We feel like all hope is lost. We recognize that we are in that time of preparation in the church. But we are not, and we will not lose hope, because we know we belong to the church. Where do we have our citizenship forever? Where are we only sojourning for a short time? Why do we get excited about celebrating the Lord's Supper? Because we belong to the Therefore, we will celebrate even when we're in the church. You know what? You know more about theology right now than most people in the church. And I think you did pretty good. What do you think? May we celebrate at all times and in all places that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us his forgiveness and shed his blood, so that even though we're in the church, we always have our place in the church. Amen.